We face a December shrouded in a background of fear. In South Africa, a new concerning variant of SARS-CoV-2 known as Omicron engulfed the country, sending it into an outbreak and the world into panic. Omicron, unlike Alpha and Delta, was particularly peculiar and particularly horrifying. Where Delta had 18 mutations in the spike protein, Omicron had 43. Quickly, our hope for a gradual return to normalcy became but a distant fantasy. Along with 43 spike protein mutations, we find that Omicron may increase the risk of reinfection threefold, curb vaccine immunity, and transmit at rates perhaps 2.5 times that of Delta. Current coronavirus vaccines act to prevent infection by targeting the virus's spike protein, the outer portion of the virus that acts as a key to entering and infecting human cells. But with 25 more mutations on the spike protein, Omicron may severely inhibit vaccine immunity, rendering our most effective defense against mass hospitalization and death temporarily ineffective. Even those who have since recovered from another strain may find themselves in trouble. The World Health Organization, when acknowledging the Omicron variant as a variant of concern, noted that Omicron may bear a much higher risk of reinfection as compared to other variants, like Delta. Case rates suggest that transmission in South Africa from Omicron-fueled outbreaks is perhaps greater than twice as rapid as Delta-fueled ones. However, with such a new variant and only a single outbreak, data are limited. We do not know whether the increased spread results from relaxed COVID-19 procedures since the Delta wave or increased transmissibility. Still, a variant that may contain with it increased transmissibility, heightened risk of reinfection, and inhibited vaccine immunity spells horror for a somewhat normal way of life. This new virus, unfortunately, forebodes a horrifying winter and a ghastly future. In the fear engendered by this mysterious specimen, our hopes for a more normal holiday and a more normal winter have become nothing but false, a false hope. Last year, we spent what we can only term the holidays from hell. In December, Alpha, the first major variant of the virus, began to spread like wildfire in the United Kingdom and the United States, resulting in tens of millions of cases and hundreds of thousands of deaths. At the time, the excruciatingly limited vaccine availability, tied with the political turmoil fomented by a bitter election and its evil aftermath, made our holidays far less happy than in years past. With the unsteady hope and significant change of 2021, a happy holiday seemed far more likely this year. However, with Omicron, that optimism has devolved to mere pessimism, and we now worry that this December will be last December, or even worse. These worries are not surprising, of course. Little is known about the virus except bad news, that it spreads quickly and increases the risk of reinfection. However, recently there have been developments in our understanding of Omicron that may completely contradict our pessimism. These developments make us question, what if Omicron, the variant considered more transmissible and more immune to the vaccine than Delta, is not bad news, but good news? On Friday, December 3rd, 2021, the World Health Organization reported that, despite South Africa experiencing an unprecedented surge and 38 countries reporting a case, there's yet to be a single confirmed death from the variant. Even on the front lines, some experts are reporting that Omicron infections appear to be mild. Appear. There are, of course, a few issues that keep us cautious. First, Omicron appeared only 8 days before the World Health Organization reported zero deaths. Deaths generally lag behind infections for a couple of weeks, so that zero death news is not necessarily incohesive with past strains. Second, we must stress that there has yet to be a single confirmed death. Few Omicron infections relative to the legitimate count have been sequenced, so few deaths would be expected. Third, the evidence regarding mild infections remains anecdotal. With no experimental confirmation, there really isn't any encouraging. The experts' accounts are encouraging, but not representative. In an article posted by Reuters, they described a study postulating a possible mutation in Omicron, one known for its ubiquity in common human viruses such as common colds and HIV. At the time of the article, the research had yet to be peer-reviewed. However, the ramifications, if the mutation does exist in Omicron, would be profound. The mutation allows the virus to bypass the human immune system and transmit more efficiently, but at the cost of causing mild or even asymptomatic disease. We watch this news with a certain bittersweet sentiment. We see that Omicron may cause milder symptoms than previous variants, but we also see that it may resist immunity from both the vaccine and previous infection, rendering both technology and nature's methods toward acquired immunity virtually ineffective. With many potential benefits and detriments, we may grow ambivalent, conflicted over whether to feel excited or concerned. Excited that the pandemic may be nearing its end, yet concerned that the pandemic may rapidly grow scores worse, becoming equally deadly and significantly more transmissible. The main message, however, appears to be concern, pessimism. We are concerned that this virus will, as it is presently, grow out of control and wreak another wave of havoc on the human population. We are, overall, pessimistic. Yet, no matter our sentiments, we do not have the evidence to confirm whether Omicron will be a benefit or a detriment to our fight against the pandemic. And yet we grow so abruptly and placidly pessimistic. For what? With this abject pessimism virtually ubiquitous in our society, we must consider the opposite. Omicron may, not will, but may be good news, not bad news. If we choose to believe that Omicron may be good news, then we will be considered optimistic. This optimism will immediately land criticism from others, which who note the importance of cautiousness, especially with a novel variant about which there is much uncertainty. For our optimism, critics may group us with the overly optimistic, the ignominious anti-mitigationists of our present society. But can we not note our ambivalence toward the virus's potential characteristics while maintaining hope? Can we not be optimistic instead of pessimistic? Can we not reject this fervid pessimism for cautious optimism? Can we not reject fervid and ignorant optimism for cautious optimism? Can we become not ignorantly concerned, but instead enlightened and enthusiastic, yet aware that our optimism may be, once we understand the virus, incorrectly asserted? There is no question that ignorant optimism is way out of touch, even more so than pessimism. Unlike worry, an unjustified optimism can distance us from the actual terrors of the virus. For example, this optimism, this it'll all blow over incoherence, foments such anti-scientific tremors as anti-vaccine and mask sentiments, along with the ridiculous belief that COVID-19 will magically, as in a Disney fairy tale, come to an end. This maniacal and ignoble optimism has become responsible for hundreds of thousands of deaths in the United States alone, along with many more in other countries. We must not let our optimism become so ruthless and infantile that Voltaire, if he were alive, would feel impelled to write another Candide. Such cruel, impertinent, and incorrigible optimism demonstrates to us novel optimists the consequences of our ignorance. If we so choose, our optimism will control us, delude our senses, and abolish our empathy. If we allow our enthusiasm to grow obstinate, we will join the heinous, odious forces that murder all logic and all scientific coherence. If we choose to be optimistic, we must be aware that our optimism may be for nothing. We must take the humble road, acknowledging that our optimism may be wrong, and maintaining science's expertise. though we must take this road, cautious optimism is far healthier than oversympathetic and ignorant pessimism. Not quite ignorant, but oversympathetic pessimism. And it is far less damaging than callous and ignorant optimism. That is ignorant. It is merely a cautious excitement, a balanced recognition of risks and possibilities with a hint of human emotion. And in a challenging time like this, it is perhaps most important that we reject unwarranted pessimism and accept logical and pertinent optimism. We must remember, however, that we cannot, as citizens with meager medical knowledge, justifiably claim that Omicron certainly will be good news. We cannot say for sure that Omicron will cause milder infection and fewer deaths. Not even the scientists have figured that out yet. We also cannot assert, with a brutal disregard for science, that Omicron is definitively good news, especially with the variant's ability to bypass acquired immunity from vaccination or infection and transmit more effectively. It remains a virus, one that destroys security and health and in society. It remains an infector, one that kills our loved ones and splits our nations apart. It remains a divider, one that urges the world and its most prosperous states into intranational gridlock and brinkmanship. Yet I find that, despite its unprecedented characteristics, Omicron may be good news. Following the deadliest waves of the great influenza pandemic of 1918, the H1N1 flu mutated to a milder form, and by 1920, this virus, which beleaguered an already war-torn human race and killed as many as 100 million of its members, joined the background of existing influenza strains. One of the deadliest pandemics in human history rapidly became a still deadly, yet more manageable virus. And life returned to a new normal. COVID could, not will, but could take H1N1's path. It is true that one of the few similarities between H1N1 and SARS-CoV-2 is that they both are viruses that cause respiratory illness. It is also true that the novel virus will not follow the same path as H1N1. In fact, the very indication that Omicron is milder than past variants is a cautious hypothesis, not a confirmed emphasis. Scientists have warned us that, contrary to the preliminary data, we could experience a novel virus far deadlier and more transmissible than Delta. We could be asserting common knowledge in ignorance, not realizing the gradual shift toward decreased pathogenicity may not be omnipresent in viruses. Our hopes could be superficial, excited and unremitting, yet mistaken. Our optimism could be as severely out of touch as Leibnizian optimism in Candide. Our enthusiasm could run diametrically counter to Omicron's waves. Yet, in our present knowledge, let us rejoice in the hope, albeit cautious and understanding that the present specimen may make coronavirus more benign and less deadly. Let us listen to the experts and thank them for discovering and communicating the most important questions we query with the new variant. Let us have faith that the virus's gradual cooling can quench the bitter flames of inexorable division in our damaged nation. That a novel force, the virus's gradual cooling, if it so happens in the near future, can ease our nation's conflagrations of discord and effect a return to civil normalcy. Let us hope that Omicron returns us to this pre-pandemic life, away from the presently important mitigation procedures and to the pre-COVID society or post-COVID society, free of most social distancing restrictions and devoid of the abject dissonance between mitigation protocols and some whom those mitigation protocols target. Let us, unlike throughout a majority of this pandemic, have hope. For now, we wait for the venerable scientists to present to us their data, sanguine for a return to normalcy, enamored with the newfound possibility of vacations and quiet school board meetings, and fancying an end to the jangling discords of Facebook and Twitter. And into hope we rush, earnest in the assertion that good news can and will return to human society. That is our podcast. We will see you in the next episode.